live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 30th day of July, 2020. And I was so impressed by a young pastor who I heard preach not long ago at the installation service of my very dear friend, Pastor Jeff Waddington, who was just installed not long ago at an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. And the young man that I'm speaking of, who was among several present who had their own sessions or their own parts of the ceremonies where they spoke, among those present were Pastor Angelo Valli, pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania. And today we are going to be discussing the pastoral theology of John Owen, which is actually the theme of Pastor Angelo Valli's doctoral dissertation. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Angelo Valli.
Thanks, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I just want to make one small note. It was the pastoral theology of John Owen was my THM thesis. Lord willing, it will be the subject of my doctoral thesis. But yes, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the privilege of being on air with you.
And I appreciate the correction, and I am thrilled to have you on the program. After hearing you speak that day, I knew that I wanted to have you as a guest as soon as possible, and I'm glad that today is the day. And in fact, we should also inform our listeners, we'll give you a heads up, that tomorrow, God willing, Pastor Jeffrey C. Waddington, who I just mentioned, the new pastor at Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, he will be my guest tomorrow. We have not yet settled on a topic, but we will have that, God willing, confirmed by tonight, and I will begin to publicize that. But Dr. Waddington is always a fascinating guest on this program, a mutual friend of my guest today, Angelo Valli. So I hope you make note of that and tune in tomorrow. But before we go into your own personal salvation testimony, which is a tradition on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever we have a first-time guest, especially if that guest is a Christian, the vast majority of the time, 99.99999% of the time, our guests are Christian, but once in a blue moon we have a non-Christian guest if they have something to say that I believe is of great value to the body of Christ, even if they themselves are not Christians. But when we have a Christian on, we like them to give their personal testimony of salvation. And before we do that, why don't you tell our listeners something about Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania?
Sure. I have been the pastor of Christ Reformed Church the past 7 years. Christ Reformed Church used to be part of the United Church of Christ. And when I came, they had been freshly out of that liberal denomination for several years. And so my mission here has been to reintroduce them to the beauty of the Reformed faith, utilizing primarily the Heidelberg Catechism and subsequently the Belgic Confession and the Canons of Dort. And so we've been hoping to lead men, women, boys, and girls to the beauty of the Reformed faith by virtue of our purposely expository preaching, our robust and unashamedly Reformed liturgy, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so by God's grace, we've been able to send two men out of our congregation who desire to become pastors. One of them is in Geneva now in a pre-seminary program, the other one at Regent, and Lord willing, we'll be moving on to Westminster. And so it's been a pleasure and trial, both good, in my time here.
And if anybody wants to learn more about Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania, you can go to crcalexandria.org, crcalexandria.org. It's such a thrill to hear about a church being rescued from the clutches of apostasy in a false, tragically false denomination like the United Church of Christ, which had its roots, believe it or not, folks, in Puritanism and Congregationalism. And when you see many churches by the name of Congregationalists, not all, but many, they are tragically among the number of once theologically pristine churches that were Puritan in origin who had collapsed into apostasy and leftism. And we are always glad to hear about a church like Christ Reformed Church. In fact, I've got to introduce you eventually to my friend Ed Boyle, who is pastoring Trinity Christian Church in New Bloomfield, Pennsylvania, which is in the same basic situation. They once in alignment or allegiance with the United Church of Christ denomination, but having left there a number of years ago and being taken in a Reformed direction by Pastor Boyle. But I want to give our listeners our email address if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And even though our main theme today that we are discussing, the pastoral theology of John Owen, is very specific, we will permit questions on a general basis regarding pastoral theology, the office of pastor, John Owen in general, or even our guest's own personal testimony, which he is about to provide, or anything regarding to his ministry. So let us start, if you wouldn't mind, Pastor Angelo, giving our listeners that summary of your personal testimony, which would include your family upbringing, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Sure. So I am a native of Brooklyn, New York, and my family, back when we were Puerto Rican, and so by statistical necessity, we're nominal Roman Catholics. And so it wasn't until I was born that my parents were born again, and they attended faithfully a Spanish Pentecostal church in the city. And so I was catechized there on the Lord Day, but ironically, in order to help keep me safe, my parents put me into a private school that was functionally an ELCA school. So I attended an ELCA school with Wednesday Mass by the priestess on Wednesdays, and then the Lord's Day was in Spanish Pentecostal Church. And needless to say, it was a very curious upbringing.
Yeah, those are polar opposite things. If anybody listening is unfamiliar with that acronym, ELCA, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which is neither evangelical nor Lutheran. In fact, you do have a remnant of biblically faithful and even those that may be faithful to the history of the Lutheran Church, but they are a tiny remnant, and that is by and large an apostate denomination. And so just to let you know, and I apologize to any faithful pastor or member of that denomination, but I'm sure that you would agree that my description is accurate.
Yes, one thing I've noticed is that even though there aren't many godless churches or churches that repudiate Scripture of Christ in these more mainline denominations that for the most part have departed, there are often faithful congregations and even some faithful pastors who are seeking to follow Christ and be a faithful witness in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Yes, years ago I remember bumping into a pastor at a Reformed conference I was attending, and he introduced himself as the pastor of an ELCA church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Really? And you're at this Reformed conference?" And he went, "Shh."
Yeah, I've seen it. There are faithful pastors in Tech, faithful in the Episcopal Church. There are some faithful pastors in the PCUSA. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but they had that burden to try and proclaim Christ in difficult circumstances.
Well, I did interrupt you, so you may continue on that interesting upbringing that you had being in a Pentecostal church and yet being educated in a liberal Lutheran school.
Sure. So as any good Yorker knows, the goal is to get out. And so my father sought to have us leave New York City. It was very dangerous. It was a bad neighborhood, and so we moved to the suburbs of New Jersey. From there, we started to attend a mega church in Staten Island. We're still commuting. To this day, my father travels from Jersey to Brooklyn for work. But we went to an Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal denomination mega church that was very purposely international. And so it was while I was there, I was catechized in the basics of the faith and really was, I believe, born again. Really came to love the Scriptures, study of Scripture, speaking with people about Scripture. And it was that opportunity that introduced me to my undergraduate, to my school, which is the University of Valley Forge. There, then, it was called Valley Forge Christian College. I went to Valley Forge Christian College with the intent of becoming a youth pastor who would spend his days leading youth camps, doing nonsense, playing games, and that was it. That was the aim of life. If I did that, goal achieved. But God in His mercy did not grant me my wishes, and introduced me to something that would change my life forever, which was New Testament Greek. I had a professor named Wesley Smith, whom my son is named after, who just transformed my life, introducing me both to New Testament Greek, patristic theology, and church history, as well as many good professors there as well. And that's where my life really began to change. I became obsessed with study and history and languages, changed my major so that I could do that. And while I was doing this, I was courting my wife. I often joke that I didn't sweep her off her feet, but instead, like a wave beating a rock, slowly eroded her away until she eventually would go out with me. And while we were there, we attended a church plant where we would eventually serve for our 4 years there. We got married. And I had some friends who were also theologically focused, and we began to hear about this thing called Reformed theology from characters like John Piper, and at the time Mark Driscoll, pre-lapsarian Mark Driscoll. And then also studying the works of R.C. Sproul. And so, ironically, it was by virtue of my bachelor's thesis, which was on the doctrine of predestination and the theology of Karl Barth, that led me to Westminster Seminary. I don't imagine many people share that same road. So it was through there that I became more aware of the Reformed faith. I went to Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, where my wife and I turned the Westminster Confession of Faith, Larger and Shorter Catechism, into our bedtime stories, as we would read them together and discuss, do we agree with this, why or why not? And as we wrestled through that, we became more and more convinced of the Reformed faith, which was very fascinating as we were attending, and my wife was on staff, at a dispensational Arminian Baptist church. Very interesting times.
Huh. Yeah, a very interesting testimony indeed. And,
yes.
Well, this topic is quite, I think, important because pastors today, perhaps more than ever, should have stronger voices giving them counsel and guidance when it comes to the calling that they have than much of what is available in contemporary sources. Now, of course, there are, thankfully, many and a growing number of fine Bible teachers and exegetes and pastoral examples in our day, a growing number of them. I could go on and on with men that have even had on the show, like John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul and many others, who I would even consider heroes of the faith, but they are still, nonetheless, a minority today, I believe, not only because of liberalism, leftism, and apostasy, but even because of shallow evangelicalism. But John Owen is a name that I'm assuming that the vast majority, if not every Reformed listener, has some idea who John Owen was. But there's still, especially since I have new believers who do listen to this show, and even those of other religions listening at times, there are some, perhaps even many, who don't know who John Owen was and why we should even be paying serious attention to his legacy that he has offered and left to the body of Christ by the grace of God. So why don't you tell us, in summary, who John Owen was to begin with?
John Owen was a Puritan pastor who lived during some of the most turbulent times of England's history in the 17th century. His years are 1616 to 1683. He was the son of a pastor in the nonconformist tradition who was raised in the incense of Puritanism. And so he, by God's grace, was gifted with a brilliant mind and a heart focused on showing people how beautiful the gospel was. Every single stroke of his quill was designed to show the beauty and the glory of Christ, hoping that by virtue of his pen and presence, especially from the pulpit, that people's lives would be transformed to the gospel. And anything that came across that and against that, he felt it was his task and mission as a faithful herald of the gospel to speak out against for the glory of Christ and the good of his people.
Yes, and John Owen, in spite of his high learning, his really impressive history of academic training, and the prestige which he enjoyed in theological circles, he was humble enough and discerning enough to recognize the gifts of a man with probably an 180-degree opposite background, although a man who shared the same faith, for the most part, John Bunyan, and he allowed Bunyan, in fact, more than allowed, lovingly and eagerly welcomed John Bunyan into his own pulpit.
Yes, the relationship between Owen and Bunyan is fascinating. You see that Owen works hard to try and help Bunyan be released from prison, but is ultimately also supportive of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And it's marvelous. There's this one apocryphal story, and I say apocryphal because I've heard it mentioned from other Owen scholars that there's not sufficient data to prove it, that Owen told Charles II, the King of England, that he would give all of his learning up if he could preach like Bunyan.
Praise God. And what was it that drew your focus to John Owen's pastoral theology? There are a number of heroes of the faith that pastoral theology might immediately come to mind when we remember their lives and legacies. Robert Murray McShane comes to mind. Charles Spurgeon. What was it about John Owen's pastoral theology that immediately grabbed your attention, arrested your attention, and drew you into doing further study and even writing your thesis on this subject?
Well, I'm a guitarist. I am a huge fan of music, and one of the basic ideas in music is if you like somebody, find their roots, find their influences, and you'll find their sound. For example, I love John Mayer. So if I trace him, I'll find Stevie Ray Vaughan, I'll find Eric Clapton, I'll find Hendrix.
And this is not the way I thought you would begin answering that question. I'm sorry.
Well, theology.
Continue.
All right. Theology is a discussion of John's, it always seems. So I went from Owen to Mayer. With Owen, I loved R.C. Sproul. Sproul introduced me to Sinclair Ferguson. Tracing Ferguson back, I found Owen. Ferguson did his doctoral work on Owen's theology. And so that's how I was introduced to him. I began reading his book On Temptation and Sin and on the Mortification of Sin by virtue of the Banner of Truth, very helpful, abridged and modernized reprints of Owen's work. And so as I began to study Owen in particular, I just became enamored with his ability to see through my heart and point out things I had never noticed. I had shared earlier that I was a Pentecostal. I found as I was, I mentioned I was a guitarist, I traveled the country playing guitar for college, and we would go to youth camps, and I'd hear the same five sermons every week, and I found a deficient pneumatology, or study of the Spirit. So I started reading Owen's Volume 3, Pneumatologia, or Work on the Holy Spirit, found it to be is exciting and riveting and helpful because I wanted to understand what is a biblical doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What is his work? And as I began to study Owen's pneumatology, I found that the Reformed faith, rather than not having anything to say about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, was in fact more charismatic than the charismatics. And I don't mean that in the sense of miraculous or extraordinary gifts as much as a greater dependence on the fullness of the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I mean, Reformed Christians, Calvinists, if you will, believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace, we have more of an essential view of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives than any charismatic or Pentecostal, because we don't even believe that we can have genuine faith without the work of the Holy Spirit actually revolutionizing and resurrecting our dead, lifeless souls.
That's right. We are so dependent on the Holy Spirit that every ounce of our life as a Christian is by virtue of our mystical union, by our resting in what the Spirit is doing. It's his work in us. We celebrate that. And that's what Owen really highlighted for me, the beauty of the Spirit, as well as the reality that we're Trinitarian, not Unitarian, as is sometimes the temptation in terms of our views of the persons of the Trinity. So those would be some of the reasons why I began my pursuit of Owen. I also loved listening to the teachings and lectures of Carl Truman. I had him as a professor at Westminster Seminary and thought him brilliant. And I saw that he constantly would reference Owen, or he was writing books and included things on Owen. And so I thought if the people I most respect were dealing with this particular thought and theologian, be a better way to say it, then I want to see what he's all about and spend some time looking into him and learning.
Yes, Dr. Truman has been one of my favorite guests, and you just reminded me that I have to invite him back on this program. I'm always fascinated by my discussions with him. There are duties required in a pastor's calling. Should a man accept the call to the office of pastor? And first of all, let's start with that. There would have been no question likely at all in Owen's day about men exclusively rightfully receiving the call to the pastoral ministry. This is a exclusively male office, am I not correct?
Absolutely. 1 Timothy 2 makes that quite clear. The ministry of the church, God has set men apart for the office of pastor, elder. And I would include deacon as well, and teacher.
Well, you know what we're going to do, so I don't interrupt you mid-sentence. We're going to go to our first break right now. And when we return, I would like you to begin to discuss a vital aspect of the role of a pastor, which includes feeding the sheep. And this is something that is of primary importance. Many of us, if not most of us, vividly remember Jesus Christ's thrice asking questions to Peter if he loved him. And one of the challenges to Peter was to feed his sheep. And so we're going to be discussing that when we return from this break, this first break. If anybody has questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, don't go away. We'll be right back with Angelo Valley.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word. and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today, our guest for the very first time is Angelo Valli, pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania. We are discussing the pastoral theology of John Owen. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I enter into a very important passage of Scripture that I began to mention in John 21, starting with verse 15, when Jesus Christ is asking Simon Peter if he loves him three times, which subsequently enters into a very important aspect of John Owen's pastoral theology, feeding the sheep. Before we do that, we have a very anxious friend of ours, mutual friend, the aforementioned Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington of Faith Presbyterian Church, Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, who has a question for you, and this better be good, because I have no idea what he's referring to. This may be a joke, I don't know, but who is Juanista?
Yes,
Waddington is one of my greatest encouragers, and part of his encouragement ministry is every morning sending me some absurd picture from Bitmoji and a daily bit of encouragement. And it began by saying, "Good morning, Angelo. Good morning, John Owen." And he does some funny quip. It became John Owen, became John Oista, became Juanista. So I am Juanista.
He gave you a female name.
He's an absurd and hysterical character.
Yes, I happen to be the unfortunate brunt of much of his insane humor. In fact, he also greets me every morning by text. It's something I actually look forward to. But thank you for wasting much of our valuable time, Dr. Waddington. That's the question we got from a Jonathan Edwards scholar. Okay. Let me go into something infinitely more important in John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. Jesus Christ says to Peter, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Why is tending and feeding the sheep such a crucial aspect of John Owen's pastoral theology and biblical pastoral theology?
Well, I think you just touched on what I think is the key aspect of pastoral theology. So we recognize that the New Testament is connected with the Old. And so this task of feeding that you're seeing discussed between the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter is in many ways a reconciliation of Peter to the ministry of Word and sacrament, but it's not unique to him. We would think of Psalm 23 in those moments, or even Jeremiah 3:15 was a key text for Owen. There says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Owen is going to build the entirety, I would say, of his pastoral theology, not from John 21, but from a more aged and seasoned Peter, echoing the very same ideas of Christ to other pastors and elders. He repeats that in 1 Peter 5:2, which says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." That very passage from 1 Peter is going to be part of Owen's short summary of the contents of pastoral ministry. Again, if you're familiar with Owen, you know that he has this ability to speak and speak and speak. But if you want one sentence summary for what Owen believes to be the heart of pastoral ministry, he writes in volume 16, page 47, "The first officer or elder of the church is the pastor. A pastor is the elder that feeds and rules the flock," 1 Peter 5:2. This idea of feeding, then, is the heart or foundation for Owen of pastoral ministry, and every other subsequent duty is a necessary outworking or outpouring of that central act.
We do have a question for you from Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Harrison asks, "I love reading Owen, but it's not easy. Do you know of any works republished, originally written by John Owen, that are translated in more modern English so that he would be easier to read?"
Sure. Great question. Again, if you encounter Owen as he was originally published, which is done by the Banner of Truth, there is a difficulty. It seems that he was more at home in Latin than English. So if you're looking for something more readable and reader-friendly, again, I point you to the same publisher. The Banner of Truth has these wonderful books called Puritan paperbacks, and what they are classic Puritan works that are affordable and they are readable. their abridged and modernized language, and perhaps give you some more paragraph breaks so you have some sense of hope as you read through the book. But there's classic works of Owen. Again, three are The Mortification of Sin, On Temptation, and both of those books were originally sermons preached by Owen to teenage boys at Oxford, so you know they're going to be practical on those subjects. And then his work that I would add is The Holy Spirit. Those works are some of his classics. Of course, more can be referenced, but they're affordable and available through the Banner of Truth, which I would commend you to look at, Puritan paperbacks.
Yes, they are indeed excellent. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the first of these Puritan paperbacks that I ever read as a young Christian was Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by Thomas Brooks. And I remember being struck by the fact that even though this book had been written centuries before, how contemporary the situation of the church in the world that Brooks was describing seemed to be. It just showed you how relevant many of the writings of these great men from centuries ago have today. So their writings, many of them, are timeless.
They are indeed timeless. The brilliant thing about many of them is that they are sermons, which just continues to reveal to us the timelessness of the Word of God, especially when it's rightly handled and carefully applied by men full of the Holy Spirit.
Great. Well, thank you very much for writing in, Harrison, and continue to listen to Iron Sharpens Iron and spread the word in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Let's see here. Well, before I go to another listener, I just want you to move on to the further explanation. Exactly what does feeding the flock mean?
That's a great question. Again, we want to look at Scripture. Owen sees himself as the faithful arbiter of the Western Catholic tradition. He's regularly going to involve himself with the writings of the early church, of the medieval church, contemporaries of his own day. But he's always going to go back to Scripture. And so he, again, uses 1 Peter 5, Jeremiah 3, and John 21 to give us that idea. But looking at Jeremiah 3 as the chief text, he takes that idea that pastors are called to feed God's people with knowledge and understanding. This idea is chiefly that they are to feed the flock of Christ with the Word. Our job is not to be an entertainer. We're not hype men. We're not merely to speak a liturgy thoughtlessly, which, again, I have no ill against my Anglican brothers. I have much love and respect for many of them. But Owen is dealing with a unique historical moment, and his work on pastoral ministry, true nature of a gospel church, is in response to someone of the Church of England, Edward Stillingfleet, and his own works there. So Owen was so focused on the Word of God being preached that he said that we are called to lay aside all other employments, though lawful, so that we would give ourselves to the utmost of this ability. It was all about the Word, that it had to be proclaimed. It could not be handed off to someone else. He was not satisfied to have homilies read or anything like that. That the Word of God needed to be faithfully expounded, and with wisdom. One of the dangers he saw was in careless handling of Scripture. For example, if you have a biblically immature church, you cannot go into the depths of Gerhardus Voss and biblical theology reading it verbatim. That's something you see perhaps from seminarians who have not learned how to talk to ordinary people yet. Instead, he says, you have to meet people where they are, and if they are mature, give them the meat of the Word. If they are young and babes in Christ, give them milk. If you give milk to those seeking meat, it's going to be a difficult and harder situation on them. And vice versa was also the case. The pastors needed to faithfully proclaim the Word, feed the people of God with the Word, and to use wisdom, using the language of priests. He pointed back to Hebrews and showing how the priests were careful in the giving of the sacrifices as well. And It's a fascinating idea to see this requirement of wisdom and care and caring for God's people. Those are some of the things that he pointed out.
My very dear friend, going back to the early 1990s, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries has been known to frequently repeat something that is very true when it comes to the feeding of the sheep. He has said, what you win them with is what you win them to. And he was connecting that with the tragedy of what has been known as the seeker-sensitive movement, the seeker-sensitive approach to preaching and evangelism, where somehow many in evangelical pulpits think that they're going to attract sheep into their midst by hanging sacks of goat food out their windows. But that is not what very often happens. It does happen sometimes, just purely by the sovereign grace of God, drawing men unto himself in spite of the failures of men. But the subject matter of the sermons and the manner in which Christ is preached, and that Christ is preached, and the manner in which God is worshipped, these are all very important aspects of pastoral ministry, are they not? Because the temptation of many, especially those who are perhaps in small churches, who are desperate to see their numbers grow, or even those pastoring very large churches who want to keep their churches large, the tendency is to seek to appease the appetites of the lost in order to keep a large congregation or grow a small one. And this is a tragedy, isn't it? That people basically are bowing to pragmatism instead of just obeying God.
I would agree with that. The goal of pastoral ministry is to feed Christ's sheep with the Word of God. It is our job to help the sheep know that they are the sheep and to help the goats know that they are goats. If we do that, we have a successful ministry. Building on something you said earlier, again, this feeding idea for Owen, he had five dynamics to it in his writings. He said that a minister who is worth his salt would do these five things well. One would be knowing the Word. You can't be useful in feeding Christ's sheep with the Word if you don't know what the Word is. You have to be regularly in the Scriptures. He said you needed to experience the Word. You had to know for yourself the goals and joys of tasting and savoring the goodness of God and the gospel. He says, if you don't do that, how do you know if what you're feeding the people isn't poison, if you're not having it yourself? Again, he said to properly divide the word, which we talked about, carefully administer the word, which we talked about. But also, one I think is important is to have zeal for the glory of God and compassion for the souls of men. If you are hungry to know the truths of Scripture, to preach the truths of Scripture, to catechize people in the truths of Scripture, but you don't actually care about people, you are not a good pastor. And that's heavy to think about, because it's easy for us, especially, to grow comfortable with our patterns of study and regurgitation, perhaps of this thinker and that thought. But it's about being hungry for the lost, for them to know Christ, to savor Christ, to invite them to see the beauty that is the gospel. And those are just some of the elements that Owen highlighted in the duty of feeding the flock by the Word of God.
We have to go to our midway break right now, and please be patient, folks, because as those who listen to this program regularly will know, this middle break is a longer than normal break that we have during the program, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle, because the FCC requires of them to localize their programming to Lake City, Florida. And they air this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, both in morning drive and in the evening. While we air our globally heard commercials, they air their own local announcements. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by as many of our sponsors as possible so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize our advertisers and thereby giving them more incentive and motivation to remain our advertisers, which means, God willing, we will remain on the air for a longer future, because we absolutely depend upon the financial support of our advertisers to exist. So please do that, and also send in questions to Angelo Valley. about our theme, the pastoral theology of John Owen, or about pastoral theology in general, or about John Owen in general. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Angelo Valli.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed and He has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God,
singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. But Afuco and Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Bud Afuco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Please remember them, whether it's for birthdays coming up, wedding anniversaries, back-to-school gifts, retirement gifts, bereavement gifts, whatever the situation may be. In fact, why not start stocking up on your Christmas gifts now, so you'll have your Christmas shopping all done way before the holidays and the mad rush of shopping during that season. By going to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, you're not only going to be doing Solid Ground Christian Books a favor, and you're not only going to be doing me a favor, since they are a primary sponsor of this show, you're going to be doing yourself a favor, and anyone to whom you give a book from this wonderful publishing company, because they publish the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. So always remember solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you purchase a book from them. Before we return to our guest today, Angelo Valli, we have some important announcements to make. First of all, let me repeat that tomorrow my guest is Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, a mutual friend of both my guest today, Angelo Valli, and mine. He is pastor, the new pastor, of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. He's also a Jonathan Edwards Scholar. And tomorrow we are going to be discussing the atonement, and I hope you tune in for that. In fact, next week, mark your calendars as well, because we've got an excellent show lined up every day next week. But in particular, I want to highlight Phil Johnson, since it's been a while since he's been on the program. Phil Johnson, who is the most interviewed guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in our history. He's the executive director of John MacArthur's Grace to You Ministry, and he's going to be discussing the stance that Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, has on remaining open during a time when the governor of California is insisting that churches remain closed due to the coronavirus pandemic, and has even threatened to shut the power off at Grace Community Church. It's going to be, I'm sure, fascinating hearing Phil Johnson defending John MacArthur and Grace Community Church's position on this.
And the next day, somebody else connected with Grace to you. A very excellent guest that I've only had the privilege of interviewing once before, Daryl Bernard Harrison. He is going to be on the program along with his podcast co-host, Virgil Walker. We are going to be discussing a Christian response to Black Lives Matter and other things. Hope you tune in for that as well. I want to remind you folks that I am going to be manning an exhibitor's booth Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th in Scranton, Pennsylvania at the Basics of Biblical Counseling Conference. This is being held at the High Point Baptist Church, which is located in Larksville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Scranton. And the keynote speaker is the executive director of ACBC, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, Dale Johnson. They are going to be discussing, or should I say, Dale is going to be discussing some very important aspects of biblical counseling, including the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, and what makes biblical counseling biblical. There will also be a Q&A session with the audience. If you want to join me there at this conference, the Basics of Biblical Counseling, Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, that's S-C-R-A-N-T-O-N, dash P-A, dash training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training, and you can also go to the website of High Point Baptist Church at highpointbaptist.church. That's highpointbaptist.church. And folks, please remember, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com as quickly as possible and click support. Then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so, or you could even mail in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen. Just make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and that will help us to make up for a great loss financially that we've recently had. Unfortunately, we lost, I'm hoping it's temporary, but we lost two of our largest financial supporters. In fact, they are our two largest financial supporters, whose businesses were so negatively impacted by the coronavirus pandemic hysteria that they had to, for at least a time, forego on any further giving to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Please help us make up for that financial loss, which has been devastating for us. Please go to ironshipandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I want to thank each and every one of you who have been responding to my SOSs for help, those who have been giving large and small amounts, those who have been faithful givers every month, and those who are new givers. Especially, I keep repeating this, but a woman in Austin, Texas, who I'd never heard from before. I have no idea who this wonderful woman is, but she broke all donation records when it comes to personal, private individuals giving, as opposed to churches and businesses and ministries. She broke all donation records recently, and we want to thank her so much. I hope I get to meet her soon sometime. But please go to ironsharpensignradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy if you're having a hard time making ends meet by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those are two very important, vital commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, you have extra money lying around because you have not been going to your favorite sporting events, you have not been going to concerts, you have not been going to Bible conferences, you have not been going to the movies or theatrical performances at playhouses, there's many things that people have not been doing because of the quarantines during this pandemic. And many of you have been saving money in because of that. So if you could use some or all of that money that you're saving, we would love to receive every penny that we can for your entertainment and other expenditures that you've been refraining from, like fine dining and other things. So please go to irontruppandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, you can also advertise with us by sending me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately, because we are in urgent need of those advertising dollars. And also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you've really got to rectify that situation. There is no such thing biblically as a lone wolf maverick Christian who either never attends worship or never joins a church or just bounces from church to church and never joins any of them. If you want to be a biblically faithful Christian, you've got to submit to the authority of local elders in a Bible-believing church. And I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. And I may be able to help you. I have helped many people in our audience find biblically faithful churches in all parts of the planet Earth. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Angelo Valley on the pastoral theology of John Owen. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Fervently praying for the flock is an important duty of the pastor, is it not, Angelo?
Oh, certainly it is. It's absolutely crucial. As many pastors can identify today, that one of the great joys as a pastor, at least for myself and a few others I've talked with, is during the week actually being in the sanctuary, the meeting house, use that language, and to be praying for families by name. One thing that Owen highlights in this particular duty is he says that without prayer, no man can or doth preach to them as he ought, nor perform any other duty of his pastoral office. Again, what we're seeing is for Owen, what we've highlighted earlier, is the necessity of communion with God himself, that without this necessary point of communion, everything that's going to flow from a pastor's ministry is futile and profitless, because it's rooted in self-sufficiency and not Christ. Again, to quote Owen, whatever is done without prayer, without constant prayer for the church, is of no esteem in the sight of Christ. It's pretty heavy. You know, we often think about Owen in these wonderful academic contexts, but we forget about the reality of his devotional primacies.
Amen. Let's see. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. CJ asks, is it not dangerous for pastors to adopt the model of a celebrity preacher, teacher, lecturer who has little personally to do with the oversight and the lives of the flock? They ascend into the pulpit Sunday morning and then descend from it when the worship is over, barely to have any contact with the flock at all. Sometimes the excuse of the size of the congregation is given, but if a church is very large, should they not make sure that they appoint many elders so that they can all have some familiarity and contact and oversight and shepherding to the flock, including the one who is known as the pastor?
Our dear brother seems to have a very particular idea in mind. I would begin by saying that the pastor's job is to smell like the sheep, right? If we're thinking about the reality of shepherding, let's remove all the glory and prestige from it. You have a person who is regularly in the fields, falling in the mud, things similar to mud that are not mud, and interacting with sheep who may or may not bite him, hit him, move towards him, or he'll have to physically move. A pastor who doesn't smell like a sheep is not a pastor. For Owen, so much of what he deemed as important and necessary for preachers was not only the proclamation of the word, but the daily or weekly interaction with his people. Owen sought to guard and guide the church by means of his pen, his presence. He did this by writing, but also in catechesis. He inherited a horrible, difficult pastorate that had, dealing with Fordham, his one of his earlier pastorates, he had failed to the church had failed to catechize the people well, and so the way that he handled it was writing his own catechisms and then going to personally catechize the people. He saw this visitation or catechesis as second only to the proclamation of the word. So how can you be a pastor? So again, using my historian or broadly theological hat, how can you be a pastor and not know the sheep? Now, to do this from a more experiential angle, one of the difficulties I had as a preacher that maybe many of your preachers had during the COVID season at its height during March and the first days of uncertainty was I had a hard time preaching. Not because I didn't know what to preach, but because so much of my own homiletical process is involving myself with people throughout the week, and as you exegete the text, you exegete the people. And so how do you know how to apply it if you're not interacting with the people and seeing their needs? How can a pastor claim to preach anything well if he doesn't know those to whom he's feeding? Again, to use the example of Owen, Owen said it would require wisdom to know what your people need and how much of it, where to go, where to push, where not to push. If you're not encountering the sheep, how are you going to know what to feed them? And so, yes, what he was proposing earlier, I think was a useful model for the elders to help in the shepherding ministry. Tim Whitmer does a great job in explaining what that would look like in his book, The Shepherd Leader.
That actually leads us to something. You mentioned the COVID pandemic quarantining. One of the reasons why it is very important not to, I believe, not to, as a church, allow the government to perpetuate indefinitely, especially the shutting down or the quarantining of members of a local church, not only because it is a violation, I believe, of our constitutional freedoms of assembly and religion, but it's also, I know it's a biblical violation, because in doing so, you are preventing the flock from receiving the sacraments or ordinances, as many prefer to call them, out of fear of confusing the sacraments with sacerdotalism. But administering the sacraments is a vital function of the leaders of the church, including the pastor. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. So I'm a Presbyterian minister of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and so when you say things like that, you hear a hearty amen. I do believe, and Owen did that well. He's again someone who argues for the weekly celebration of the Lord's Supper. Christ's sheep need to be strengthened by means of the sacraments. Again, the sacraments do not cause faith; they strengthen our faith. We need to be encouraged by Christ in this tremendously difficult, painful, costly, dark season. Why would we not avail ourselves of the gifts of God in these moments? And that would be my really condensed, short take on that.
I mean, we who are Reformed, as I was saying before, we are not sacerdotalists. We do not believe that these sacraments or the ordinances have salvific necessity, but at the same time, we are robbing the saints, and very often they are robbing themselves, of a vital aspect of the life of a Christian by either being prohibited from or voluntarily rejecting these two vital aspects of the Christian faith, are we not?
Well, I would agree with that. What's happened is, for many, it's become almost like a functional excommunication. We have removed ourselves from the people of God and from the gifts of God, to use that older liturgical language. And I'm curious to see the longitudinal ramifications of this present COVID season in terms of how is this going to affect church attendance? You know, what is church? What does it mean to have a service of worship? And there's some people who are very serious about not calling church via YouTube or Facebook Live. It's not a worship service, and people are very particular about that. And so how do we as the people of God seek to lead and guard and shepherd Christ's flock, particularly as ministers, in the midst of this. You know, it can be very controversial. It's been curious as I'm involved with different pastors' groups and networks, how even Reformed ministers of the same presbytery or the same denomination have varied approaches for the sake of Christ's flock and how to care for them. I mean, it's a very complicated, difficult, and even sticky issue.
Another aspect of Owen's pastoral theology is making converts. Obviously, we who are Reformed know that in using such language, we are not talking about a human being actually making a convert, because only God can do that. We can only plant and water seeds. Only God can give the increase. But explain what that actually means when it comes to a biblical approach to making converts.
You know, it's always fascinating when you think about obvious things in this way. There were some heresies in the earlier church that were against marriage and any sort of intimate relations. You know what's fascinating about those groups? They never really last long. And the same is true of the church. One of the principal ends of the church is to not only continue to feed the flock, but there's a reality of the conversion of souls. A church that doesn't seek to evangelize, I mean, what is it doing? How is it going to persist? How is it accomplishing the Great Commission? There is this reality that the church does exist not only to strengthen and feed the flock, those who have already been regenerated or effectually called by the Holy Spirit by virtue of God's glorious act of predestination, but the church also exists to enlarge the kingdom of Christ. I'm now using the language of Owen. The church exists to diffuse the light and savor of the gospel, to be subservient unto the calling and gathering of all the sheep of Christ into his fold. And so what Owen makes clear that one of the duties of pastoral ministry is evangelism, is the seeking of conversion. And for Owen, as is typical of the Puritans, it's by means of the proclaimed word, pulpit ministry. I mean, we so often forget that, but that's the big idea there. It's proclamation. That is the means. Preaching.
Amen. Strengthening the saints is something vital to the role of a pastor. How does a pastor strengthen the saints?
Well, it depends on the saint. They're all sorts of cases. You have various sorts of sheep. Think about this again in very simple terms. You have a sheep that's belligerent. How do you strengthen it? You have a sheep that's weak. How do you strengthen it? You have a sheep that's covered in wool and falling over. How do you strengthen it? I think this is the importance of seeing wisdom. Again, wisdom being that which is dancing in the gray, or better said, seeking the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to help guide us in how we're going to care for those. And so, again, pointing back to an earlier question from the man from Lyndhurst, Owen wrote, those who have the charge of his flock, of Christ's flock under him, ought to have a sense of their infirmities and endeavor and in a special manner to succor them that are tempted. Again, we have to know the needs of the people, and we can only do that as we spend time with them. As we do that, we'll understand the various cases, what's going on in their world, and how to best minister. You know, if you have someone, to be more practical, who struggles with guilt, you're not going to bring on them the depths of the law over and over again. You'll crush a person. And at the same time, someone who is self-absorbed, narcissistic, and different towards the reality of sin, you do have to bring the hammer of God's law so that they will desire Christ. One of them needs Christ in his holiness and his, you know, supreme judgment and wrath. The other one needs Christ in his care. But both of them need Christ. And so I would say that soul care is going to require both diligence and patience and wisdom.
You just touched on something that relates to a very, very important other role in your description of how the saints are strengthened by the pastors and elders. Suffering with those who suffer, I think this is the greatest failure of the celebrity pastor or the wannabe celebrity pastor, the pastor who thinks his only function is to be an eloquent captivating and perhaps even entertaining speaker from the podium or pulpit, which is more often better described as a podium or a stage than a pulpit, because it's very often not the sacred desk, as the Puritans described that very important piece of chancellery. Tell us about that, suffering with those who suffer. Why is it such an important function of a pastor?
There's several ways to do this, and so I'll start with what I think is the chief end of pastoral ministry. Even though our dear friend, Reverend Dr. Waddington, asks silly things, he often has reminded me, he has reminded me, most importantly, that pastoral ministry is a suffering ministry. It's cruciformity. We're not looking to be, peacocks in skinny jeans behind plexiglass sitting on bar stools so that we can have the most amount of likes, Instagram, and Twitter followers, so we can build on our next generic book that'll be forgotten very soon in your local Mennonite bookstore. Instead, we are looking to reflect Christ. And the first part of doing that is learning to rest in suffering, which is horrifying and painful and difficult and costly, and often the chief means of weeding out those who have been called to pastoral ministry and those who like the Bible but don't love Christ. And so Owen wrote that the seventh duty of a pastor is to suffer with those who suffer. He wrote, a compassionate suffering with all the members of the church in all their trials and troubles, whether internal or external. This is what it looks like to be a soul-caring minister. And, Owen didn't write from an ivory tower. We're talking about a man who lost all 11 of his children and his first wife. This is a man who lost positions of authority and influence. He was the vice chancellor or vice president of Oxford during the reign of Cromwell. He is someone who was a mover and shaker and who had to regularly extend himself to periods without his family in order to keep them safe, in order to do what is right. We don't know about that, not yet. We don't know what it's like to do that. And so I think this is really important because it provides us this window into how we can love like Christ loves. And so Owen really highlights that. He says, unless this compassion and goodness does run through the discharge of their whole office, men cannot be said to be evangelical shepherds, nor the sheep said in any sense to be their own. If you're not willing to suffer with your sheep and fight with your sheep, then you're just a hired hand. And John 10 tells us that that's not what a pastor is.
Amen. Amen. Obviously, this is a... this is hinged on what we were just saying, what you were just describing. Caring for the sick and the poor. This is something that, too much to our shame, you have liberals and liberal leftist apostate denominations. They are sometimes putting Bible-believing conservative evangelicals to shame in their commitment to do these things. And we should never, as ambassadors for Christ, let them corner the market on vital aspects of Christian obedience. We have the warnings in James about thinking that accurate theology keeps us safe and in good standing with God, but this is far from the truth, isn't it?
It is. It is sad that so often the church is shown up, so to speak, by apostates. What would the Church of Jesus Christ look like if they learned how to evangelize as well as the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? What would the church look like if their diaconal ministry was as efficient as those in the more progressive or liberal wing of things? That this idea of caring for the poor and sick is, again, to go back to Owen, is a chief duty that we are often forgetting. The care, Owen writes, of the poor, of the flock, belongs also to the pastoral office. Again, this idea is chiefly focused in the diaconate, isn't it? The mercy ministries, where those ordained officers care for the physical and practical needs of those in the church, and even those out of the church. But a pastor is not above getting his hands dirty or diligently giving his time for the good of others. We can never go into that celebrity status in terms of, I'm going to live in my study and I'm not going to care about the people. It's a real temptation, but we can't do it. We must give ourselves over to the people.
Amen. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last two breaks. So please, if you intend to send us a question, do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Angelo Valley right after these messages from our sponsor, so don't go away.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is the final segment of today's interview with Pastor Alan Angelo Valle on the pastoral theology of John Owen. If you have a question, send it immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Pastor Angelo, we have a question from John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, do you know if any publisher has in print The Duty of Pastors and People Distinguished by John Owen?
Yeah, I believe the Banner of Truth has it published.
Really?
I think it's one of the earlier writings of Owen. It is, just reviewing this real quickly.
I knew that I've seen an independent publisher bring it into print about 4 or 5 years ago, but I didn't know Banner did it.
Yes, Banner did it. It's in volume 13 of William Gold's Green hardback series. It's a very useful work. It's enjoyable. If I'm not mistaken, it's the earlier writings of Owen. It's one of the earlier writings that he's coming across. Just checking my copy real quick. I abuse my books so that I can see. I have all the little details written out here. It was, let's see, around 1643, 1644. So it's very early. it's some of his earlier writings. What we were looking at today, The True Nature of a Gospel Church, the reason I focus on that is it's published at the latter half of his life, really the last few years. So you really get the most mature budding of Owen's pastoral thought. But that's a great work, too. I think it's partly in response to the pastoral mishandling of the church that Owen had initially inherited from the chaplain of Archbishop William Laud, Reverend Alsop. But yeah, it's still a very great resource and encouraging. I think there's a green book on that. No, that's Rules for Walking in Fellowship. I was thinking of a different book, forgive me. But yeah, it's available.
Great. Well, you could go to bannerofruth.org, and I would also prefer that you order it from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, since they sponsor our show, cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And Banner of Truth doesn't miss out or lose anything, because CVBBS has to purchase the book from them. So please go to cvbbs.com and ask them for the pastoral theology of the duty of pastors, I'm sorry, and the duty of pastors and people distinguished by John Owen. Well, I want to make sure that you, in our summary, when we conclude here, provide for our listeners what you most want etched in their hearts and minds about this subject before we go off the air.
I think the most basic thing I want to point out is that if you're going to consider some of the heroes in the faith, especially one in my line like John Owen, I want you to consider this very last word. This is a pastoral note that he had written for him for his long-standing friend just days before he died. He said, "I'm going to him whom my soul hath loved, or rather who hath loved me with an everlasting love, which is the whole ground of all my consolation. I'm leaving the ship of the church in a storm, but whilst the great pilot is in the loss, while the great pilot is in it, the loss of a poor under rower will be considerable. Live and pray and hope and do not despair. The promise stands invincible that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The reason I love these words, some of the last words ever recorded of John Owen, is it reveals why I love Puritan theology. We're reading men who loved God and who wanted the love of God to be spread amongst his sheep, and who recognized that regardless of what chaos is going on in the world, how the church and the state may be at odds, or the church may look like it's in its darkest of days, Christ, the great pilot, is still there. And our love is still due unto him, and he will neither leave thee nor forsake thee. That great promise. I would encourage you to consider Owen not only as an academic, but as a pastor, and to consider the writings of the Puritans with such an excellent zeal as well. That would be the befuddled sum that I would put forward.
Well, I thought you were quite eloquent. I wouldn't call it befuddled at all. And folks, I want you to remember that if you want to visit Christ Reformed Church in Alexandria, Pennsylvania, and learn more about this congregation, you can go to crcalexandria.org, crcalexandria.org. And I want to give another reminder to all of our listeners who either live in Pennsylvania or have the ease of traveling there by train, plane, or automobile. I hope that you join me on Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th, at the High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Scranton, for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference, The Basics of Biblical Counseling, featuring the executive director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, also known as ACBC, Dale Johnson. That's Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th. Starts Friday night and continues all day Saturday until 5 p.m. I will be manning an exhibitor's booth there. So, if you want more details, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. And you can also go to the High Point Baptist Church website, High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. And that website is highpointbaptist.church. highpointbaptist.church. I want to thank you, Angelo, for doing such a superb job as my guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.